Sahana bhavatu, sahana bhunaktu, saha viryam karavavahai, tejasvinavaritamastu ma vidvishavahai. Om shanti shanti shanti. Om jaya shri krishna chaitanya prabhu nityananda shri advaita gadadhara shrivasadi gaura bhakta vrinda. Hare krishna hare krishna 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 hare hare. Hare rama hare rama 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 hare hare.
Yeah, I looked at the essays, and it's quite nice. So it's give it after the class. So it seems that all of you understood the point in the essay. So it's nice that you are working, you are trying to come to the point of contemplation and realization. So now try to more refine the points, go more into depth of realization. And in few essays there were sometimes difficulty in definition. When you are defining something, then you cannot make some different definition. If it's a definition, then it should be as it's defined in the book. You can maybe apply it differently or some, but the definition should be as it's mentioned in the book, in that particular section. Because sometimes even the definition depends on the application may be a little bit different. So therefore please look into it. But the concept and as it's going, it's good. Yes.
Well, I have a question from the introduction and the first chapter that I was wondering. In the first chapter, right at the beginning, it describes the primary and further characteristics of devotional service. Mm-hmm. The primary is the example is given of that quote from Srimad Bhagavatam, where it said that devotees, they reject all kinds of sense gratification, what to speak of liberation, and mm-hmm. they're completely satisfied by devotional service. And then the further characteristics are given as klesha, kneed, sugata, those six.
Mm-hmm.
And in the introduction, it's explained that the primary characteristics from that verse, starting, how does it start? That main verse of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, where it describes that devotional service should be favorable and pleasing to Krishna, is the primary characteristic, and free from karma and jnana, and without any other desires, is the further characteristic. So there are these two different definitions of primary and further characteristics.
You see, they are not different definitions. They are just different angles of the same aspect. The aspects, anyway, are going to be always remember Krishna or forget Krishna. So then the primary is, we want to, remember the Lord. But to remember the Lord, so then what can we do in the beginning? We can offer what we have, and that's conditioning. Right? We have our conditioning. Mm-hmm. But with that conditioning, we can still offer some devotional service by never forgetting Him. And so we are hoping for always remembering. But in the beginning, we can offer only not to forget. To perform devotional service, says Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, well, if we cannot offer the full activity, then offer the results. That's devotional service. Anything below that, it's not really devotional service. Maybe like Agata Sigriti, but not not directly service. So then, that's what we do. So primary, okay. So then, a devotee who offers, say the results of his activity to the Lord. So then, that will be like the primary characteristic. At least we want to do something. But so at least if that's there, then we can call the devotional service. Let's say Vishwan Chakravarti Thakur will not call this devotional service. No, so for him it will be only when you come to the point of prema, no, that you are actually fully surrendered, you are constantly remembering Krishna. So it's not depending on the angle how you look into it, but the always it will fall into these two principles. So these principles always go together. So we are trying always remember, but if we cannot always remember, then don't forget it. Therefore, you should be able to always take the elements and then bring them, break them into sambandha abhidhaya prayojana. Then you can see they may not sound different, even contradictory. But if you understand the principles, how it's everything connected, then you will understand it, there's no contradiction. Like the instructions of the Vedas for people in different guna, it will be similarly completely different. Well, it's just to elevate them from the conditioning, and it's based on what they are capable accepting and following. There was the Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada used to say one story when they were in, I don't know, either China or Hong Kong, and they were opening Gaudiya Math or some, no, it was, they were living, devotees were living there in one of the houses, and when they used to fry puris in ghee for the Sunday feast, then the neighbors were complaining of very bad stink. But when they cook, some unspeakable things. That for them, it's something very tasteful and excellent meal. So, ghee, fried ghee, that's goodness. But to somebody who is not in goodness, it will stink, it will be disgusting. But to them, something which is not in goodness will be just something wonderful. But for somebody else who is in goodness, then for them, they could not tolerate this. So it's the conditioning which makes us not different. Therefore, there is the discrimination. Discrimination, the differentiation is because of our conditioning. So we see dualities. So that's why you may see the definitions are different. But actually, they are the same. You have to find the principle behind it. Then you will see the root of it. Yeah. Okay, so we are starting the chapter 3. Then eligibility of the candidate for accepting devotional service. How does association affect attraction for Krishna consciousness? This attraction for Krishna consciousness in association with pure devotee is the sign of great fortune. It is confirmed by Lord Chaitanya that only the fortunate persons, by the mercy of both a bona fide spiritual master and Krishna, will get the seat of devotional service. Yeah, that we already not discuss before. So it's the endeavor of the devotee which makes Krishna to help or to do whatever the devotee needs. But unless the devotee or unless the person wants himself to be elevated, to get rid of the conditioning, then Krishna, he is not really sure if he should help. So therefore, he may not interfere. Like in, we said in case of Draupadi, until she was holding on the sari that she felt she can protect herself, Krishna was unable to help her. As soon as she had no other help, now hands up, and then immediately Krishna was able to protect her by supplying unlimited sari. So as long as we don't want others to help us or Krishna to help us, then he is unsure that he should come and interfere. Therefore, he doesn't. Sometimes, in very rare cases, then Krishna comes and by his extraordinary mercy, then even death he helps. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, no, he's example of, no, he doesn't really care who wants, who doesn't want. He freely distributes the love of Godhead, no matter if somebody wants or not. It's up to the person just to accept it or not. And Nityananda Prabhu, he goes even farther. He just goes and he begs, no, please, no, just take the holy name. No, like, say, in case of Ajamil, no, he wasn't really, no, intending to go to Vaikuntha. He was, I don't think he had any intentions, thinking that he's going somewhere else than hell. But by his great fortune, that his son's name was Narayan, so then that he said the name of Narayan itself, then was enough for him to go to Vaikuntha. So that's by the extraordinary mercy of the Lord. But we should not be taking example of Ajamil. No, we should not go on and not do sinful activities, thinking that at the end of our life we will end up like Ajamil. He is in Bhagavatam because it's very special case. So we should not think that we are so special that we will end up like him. So therefore we should do something for, so then we can go back to Godhead by following the process our Acharya has given to us. Then if we do, then as Srila Prabhupada guarantees, in one lifetime we can go back to Godhead. And as we will discuss later on, anyway, it is by the mercy of the devotee and by the extraordinary mercy of the Lord that one can go back to Godhead. Even us not doing, performing devotional service without the mercy of the devotee and Krishna, we will not be able to even get anything from the devotional service. So we should not think that because we are doing it, so we are getting the results. It's not like the devotional service is not that. We are doing something based that we are surrendering to Guru, to Krishna. And Krishna is reciprocating and he is giving us everything, including the intelligence of what should we do, how should we do it. So without him, we are completely useless. But he is so merciful, he just needs to see that he has a little bit of desire, and then he helps. And then if we are sincere in the desire, then it develops into deeper desire. But if it's not so deep, then we may just, oh, that's enough. And what's next? like that Krishna sees, okay, he's not there yet. Okay, so what are three classes of devotees? So devotees may be divided into three classes. One, the devotee in the first or uppermost class is described as follows. He is very expert in the study of relevant scriptures, and he is also expert in putting forward arguments in terms of those scriptures. He can very nicely present conclusions with perfect discretion and can consider the ways of devotional service in a decisive way and understand perfectly the ultimate goal of life. The second class devotee has been defined as one who is not very expert in arguing on the strength of relevant scriptures, but he has firm faith in the objective. And the third class, or the neophyte devotee, is one whose faith is not strong and who at the same time does not recognize the decision of the revealed scriptures. So, here we have the definition of Uttama, Madhyama and Kanishta. Now, the topmost, the uppermost Uttama, that's the best way to achieve Krishna. But such a devotee, he basically sees everything and everybody as a servant of the Lord, because every, even conditioned living beings, they are potentially the servants of the Lord. So he sees the potential and immediately he thinks of them that he understands that it's a question of time when they will become actual devotees. So therefore he will be very careful not to offend, and therefore for him it will be very difficult to preach to them. So Uttama Adhikari generally is absorbed in always remembering Krishna, and anything else it's not important to him. Then the Madhyama, then he is not as expert as the Uttama Adhikari, but he should be at least on the level of Nishta, because at least he should have faith that the process which he is following is the right process. And if he encounters somebody arguing with him that, oh, what you are doing, no, this is not good. What I'm doing, it's much better. So maybe he will not have arguments to counteract those, but he should have firm faith that what I'm doing through my guru, then this is the right thing to do. So then even if somebody says, oh, your guru, he doesn't know so much, no, come to my guru because he knows more than your one. So he should be at least this much understanding that there is no gain by going from one to the other, because by following the instructions then he can become self-realized, as long as that guru which he took initiation from is bona fide. So if he is connected to Parampara, then through his guru he will get all the necessary information, everything, the realizations which he needs for his own realization. So we should be very careful about the etiquette. We should be very careful about the culture, because these things are important for the Madhyama Adhikari. He is the one who is preaching, so he must know at least the conclusions of the teachings of his guru, of the acharya. Then he can convince others about it. So that's all about preaching. Now the Kanishta, he may not be able to, and as such, then the Kanishta, it's the weakest position. One should not be staying on that Kanishta level for too long, because this is, anybody can convince such a devotee that, oh, what you are doing, it's not right, no, just do something else. And by, various things, very easily, such a devotee can be swayed to do something else. Therefore, this is not a very secure position. So one should try to come to the conclusion that the process which he follows is the right process. And for that, then one has to clear all the doubts which he may have. Because if we have doubts and we don't clear the doubts, then we will not be able to support whatever we are actually doing. And then the result will be very inconfident. We will just doing things not knowing why. We don't know how to connect it to Guru Sadhu Shastra. And if somebody else comes with some other idea, then that sounds better. But based on what? We don't know. We have no idea, but it just sounds better. It's better for the mind. Less austerity, then more facility must be better. But this is exactly what actually brings us down, not up. Yes?
On the point of putting forward arguments in terms of the revealed scriptures, how important is it to be able to quote the exact number of the verse? For example, you might know that in the Gita, Krishna, he says this and that. And is it enough just to put forward that argument? Or is it very important to be able to say this is verse, this and that?
See, if somebody is knowledgeable and somebody is into the Gyan, so then it's good. Then he may learn the whole Bhagavad Gita and he may know it by heart. That's good to know. But if you know the Bhagavad Gita and you don't know the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita, then it's useless. But if you know the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita and you don't know the verses of Bhagavad Gita, that's useful. Now, when we were also mentioning here, when Chaitanya Prabhu was going, his parikam, he in South, there was one devotee who didn't know how to read, didn't know anything, but he knew the conclusion, because when he heard the Bhagavad Gita, he understood that Krishna is the Supreme, because only Supreme Lord can serve his devotee as charioteer or somebody. So that was very touching for him. He understood that this is only Krishna, only Supreme Personality of Godhead can do something like that. So, to him, he was a very dear devotee of Krishna, because he understood the conclusion. But if we learn all the verses and don't understand that much, then until we do, it's useless. So, you see, like Srila Prabhupada, he is expert in putting forward arguments, and not necessarily just always quoting verses and but bringing everything back to Krishna, connecting it. So he can start talking about any topic, but he finds a way how to connect the topic to Krishna. Like, for example, I remember there was one discussion with some Formula One driver. So he was, they were talking, and he was, I don't know what was his name, but that the driver was very excited that Swamiji wants to hear something about. So, and Prabhupada was asking some questions, and then he was describing about the engine or about this and that. So I'm Prabhupada listening, and some questions, this, that, and then it was very nice discussion, going very nicely, and then and he was describing how he is going, and how it's everything is happening. And then Prabhupada asked, okay, and when you go, that in high speed. Now you go there. You have no fear. I said, yeah, sometimes. No, it's but that's not comes to. And then, and do you know where the fear comes from? What is the origin of the fear? And then just and then connect it one by one by one and back to Krishna. But you have to do it in the sequence, so it's understandable for the person you are talking to. So that's expertise. So you don't have to quote, no, so many verses. Somebody may come and just say, hey, that's Maya. Just no, get out, get lost. I don't want to talk about Maya. But so and then he get discouraged, and then he will just say, oh, the devotee is no, don't understand anything. But rather than that, okay, listen. And then when there is the opportunity, show him that even though what he is doing, it's still connected to Krishna. But once connected to Krishna, you can show him, this is not the best way how you can achieve Krishna. There is a better way. But for that, one has to develop sensitivity. Then only it's possible to understand the connections. One has to actually see, realize the connection, then see the connections, how to connect anything to Krishna. See, like if you say that you have the body of knowledge, and that's to the wit. Now, if you take it and you learn everything possible in the world, then it's useless if you don't have realization. So at least in one of the subjects, in one instance, you have to get into realization. You have to get into the depth. If it's just a shallow knowledge, you know it. So you may be recognized for that, but nobody really cares. But if in one instance you realize, and if you realize how to connect this little thing to Krishna, then from Krishna you can connect anything back to him. And you may not know it, the details are irrelevant. Prabhupada probably didn't know much about engines, maybe yes, but maybe not, but who cares? He finds the what is the connecting point, the fear was there. So then the fear, how it comes. Or you can say, okay, the engine. Why is the engine running? It's because of the petrol. Where does the power of the petrol comes from? It's from the, they say, from the rotten animals, right? And then, the petrol. Where is coal? Now, where is the power? How it's a rock. How come is there so much power? So that can be explained. And again, back to Krishna. So somebody may understand it this way, somebody this way. But if you let him naturally talk about what he is interested in, and you connect that natural interest to Krishna, then it will be closer to him and easier for him to understand. No, rather than just stop him and just you start talking about what you feel, the standard thing, then they will just forget it. So that's how preaching should be. That's Prabhupada's expertise. So that's Uttama Adhikari. So then He argues, and he doesn't have to argue, one gives one verse, and then he gives another verse, and he gives another. That's not the point. One gives one verse, and then you can just bring that verse, connect to Krishna, and that's it. Now, Shankaracharya, he very clearly, at the end of his life, he said, Bhaja Govindam. So what does that mean? Oh yeah, Govinda was one of his gurus, so no, worship the guru. No, that's, they know it's bogus. But they must find some, no, conclusion for that. But he was very clear. Just worship the Lord. But that's, it's rahasya. They don't know it. But it's there. Yes.
How is it that the difference between Madhyama and Uttama, there is some spiritual advancement? The definition is only that the more advanced knows Shastra. How, I cannot comprehend how.
See, Madhyama, you can say he is not a pure devotee. Okay, because he can fully utilize everything in Krishna's service. So he knows what is the right thing. But he may not be expert in the details, how to do it. But as we said, that somebody may come and argue, and he may even get defeated. But not inside. He knows that, well, okay, I'm not expert. But, no. I don't really care. I know that what I'm doing is the right thing. But, and you have also example of, say, when that big Divgijai comes to Vrindavan and he wants to defeat Rupa and Sanatan. So he didn't have any chance. But they didn't want to waste even 1 second of their time to deal with the guy. So rather just then listen to him. And then listen to the challenge, and then organize something. Just okay, sign that yes, you defeated us. Okay, go. And then they are peaceful and again can work on their devotional service. And when Jiva Goswami, is not very happy with that. That their gurus, his gurus were defeated that way. So then he challenges him. He, of course, wins, but Rupa and Sanatan are not very happy. Why did you waste time with Kai? What's the point? So, the Uttama is such who you can argue, and then he just, if it is quick enough, then he just gives you the conclusion. And that's it. If you don't want to listen, it's like it doesn't really bother him. But see, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the beginning of Harinam Chintamani, he mentions this is only for devotees. I'm not interested to hear any arguments of atheists. So please don't read it. If you don't have full faith in Krishna, don't read this book. I don't want to argue with you. It's very clear. In other books, okay, he does no presence. But this book is specifically for devotees. So like that presence, you take it, you understand it, then just follow it. It becomes for your benefit. So Uttamadhikari, he can present, connect everything back to Krishna immediately. Madhyama, he may have little difficulty. He may not be so expert. Some instances, yes, some instances not, but he has no doubt that there is a connection. I don't know it, but there is, I'm sure. Okay, I'll try to find. I will ask my guru. I will ask somebody who knows. I'll find it. But I know that there is. I may not know it, you may not know it. But I'm convinced. That's Madhyama. And Kanishta, it's, maybe there is, maybe not. But you say that there is something else, so maybe I should just follow you. No. Little chanchala. But Madhyama, he's convinced.
To see the connection of the topic with Krishna is equal to knowing the Shastra.
That's the conclusion of the Shastra. If you can connect anything back to always remember Krishna, ever forget Krishna, then that's the same like knowing all the Shastras. This is knowing all the Shastras. Yeah? Yeah.
On the point before of the enables to put forward arguments in terms of the real scriptures, what is the position of a person who, for example, is all the time arguing or using the Veda base, but he doesn't know how to connect this knowledge to his to the activities? You understand?
Yeah, but so
is he on the Kanista platform actually, even though that he is able to put forward arguments all the time?
If he is not applying this in his life, then. And if he's not, what is his conviction? What is his mentality? What is his consciousness?
Well, he might be very convinced about, you know, the basic tenets of our philosophy that Krishna is a personality of Godhead, but he could be making a lot of problems arguing because he doesn't understand what is the application of that, of the knowledge.
Then this is not. This is not very high understanding. See, unless and until one comes to the platform, at least, of contemplation. Speaking words and seeing, then you can easily say, oh, Prabhupada says here one thing and here other thing, so therefore we can follow anything we want. Right? But knowing the mood of Srila Prabhupada, knowing the principles behind why it was what's spoken like this, that's important. So, and then following it. Am I looking for something which Prabhupada said or did because I don't want to follow what I'm supposed to follow? Or is it I'm trying to understand what is the best and follow the best? And only if I cannot do the best, okay, so I'll do a bit less, but with understanding that I don't want to do less for too long. I want to come up. So it's really very much depending on the consciousness. What's the mentality behind? Why is it happening? So in as such, it's not very high class. One should be applying it. Unless one applies what he's talking about in his life, then it's not based on realization. So, and as such, it's very difficult to listen to somebody and to follow somebody. Like, if you have a doctor, and the doctor is going to be smoking in front of you and tell you, you should give up smoking, are you going to listen to this guy? Why should you? Right? It's like, he's not following what he's saying. He doesn't believe it. So then why would you follow somebody like that? So you naturally can follow somebody who realizes what he's talking about, who does what he's talking about. Then it's easy to follow such a person. But to follow somebody who says one thing, but he does other thing, it's very difficult.
The person might be following what he's preaching but mm-hmm. doesn't understand fully what what he's preaching means actually.
But then if one doesn't understand really what it means, then cannot really follow it with the proper consciousness.
Exactly. That's
the before a realization, there's a contemplation. You have to think, how do you apply it? So if there is no proper understanding, then the realization cannot be proper. There is a process. So one may apply it, but one applies, say like a details. If he understands the details, so he just, does it, okay, just like that. All right, so in December it's very cold, so we have to wear very warm clothes. So I have to wear jacket and all no things like that. All right. So now he is going to Australia, right? It's December. I have to wear warm clothes because that's what I always do. My mother told me. So then I have to wear warm clothes because it's December. So what kind? It's application. So he follows the instruction, but he totally misunderstood the application of it. So there's a detail. Okay, December, then you follow. No, you wear warm clothes because in North Hemisphere, then it's winter. But there is another detail which applies. No, when you are on the Southern Hemisphere, so then in December there is summer, and in summer you don't wear more clothes. So you have to understand the principle behind. Then from the principle, you can understand the details. So then the details can be changed based on time, place and circumstance. Principles cannot be changed. That's the difference. So then such person, he may see, okay, this verse applies to me right now here, this verse applies here, this verse over there. So he sees the details how to apply. But when you change the time, place and circumstance, it doesn't apply. And then he said, oh, that's wrong. Some devotee says, Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't apply to us. It's old. It's 5,000 year old. No more kings like this. No this, no that. They don't see the principles. They just see the details. The details may not apply as they are in Bhagavatam. They may be changed. But the principles never change. They were here before, they are now, and they will be after. So that we have to understand. That's the main point. Yes?
So these definitions of Uttama, Madhyama, and Kanishtha devotees run at a parallel with the definitions given in Nectar Instruction?
Same
thing?
Yeah.
Okay. It's just different aspects.
Yes. Okay. It goes with it. There's just one point, one angle of how to see it, because this is a classification now of the eligibility of the devotee. So then there's just one angle how you see it. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. What's the difference between a value and a habit?
Value and habit. Okay, habit is unconscious, generally. Value is because it comes from intelligence. I want to do. I know it's best. So it's the value is based on the intelligence. You know what I am doing, it's right. And after it may be even subconscious. That after toilet, you just wash your hand, feet and mouth, right? Because it can just be like a second nature. You don't think about it, but it comes from Shastra. Habit doesn't come necessarily from the Shastra. It's you accustomed to do many things afterwards, say like every night, and you eat some sweet. No, that doesn't come from Shastra. It's a habit, and then just becomes, it's bad for you, right? If you don't brush your teeth or don't wash your mouth. But it's a habit. So, but because of the senses are into it, the mind is accustomed to it. So that's habit. Yeah?
We see, we notice these three levels by the consciousness and the culture of this person.
Consciousness and?
The culture of the person.
Yes, yeah. I see, but also make no mistake. See, like on the devotee on the Uttama platform, you may see him as very uncultured, because he is completely, somewhere on different level than we can perceive. So we should not consider him. We should not know, based on our dualities, judge a person who doesn't fit our understanding. So that's why it's very important, you know, to be able to respect every living being. You know, like in Shikshastaka, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us that we should be giving all the respect to others and don't expect anything from anybody. So we should be humble, because we should consider ourselves, I mean, who are we anyway? But others, we should see that they are more elevated than we are. Then it can work. We may not understand. Say, Srila Prabhupada said, don't get too close to bridge buses. And you may see, you may think that, oh, they are doing some nonsense. They're not devotees. No, look what they are doing. Now, when there was the instance when Sanatana Goswami was coming to the house of the Brahmana. What was his name? For the deity of Madan Mohan, actually. And the wife of the Brahmana was boiling milk and brushing teeth with the neem stick. Now, the milk was starting to overboil. So then, how to take the milk down? She had only the stick, so with the stick just starts stirring the milk, because that's milk for Krishna. So then he got shocked. How is that? But Madan Mohan, who was there in the house, the milk was offered to him. Then he instructed Sanatana Goswami, please don't be offensive. I'm happy by their serving. So how they do things, what they do, we cannot really even conceive. We cannot understand. We cannot comprehend. Therefore, we should not judge. It's up to Krishna to judge how he wants to relate with each and every devotee. That's why Prabhupada warned us, don't get too close to Brijbasis, because by doing so, you will do offenses, because you will judge them. And when we judge them, we offend them. So unless we can appreciate what they do, then we should just stay away and do our according to our process. That's very important. Okay. So what is the father classification of neophyte devotee? Further classification of the neophyte devotee is made in the Bhagavad Gita. It is stated that the four classes of men, namely those who are in distress, those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive, and those who are wise, begin devotional service and come to the Lord for relief in matter of their respective self-satisfaction. And out of those neophyte devotees, then who is the most dear to Krishna? Lord Krishna explains in the Gita that out of these four of neophytes, the one who is wise is very dear to him. Because a wise man, if he is attracted to Krishna, is not seeking an exchange of material benefits. This means that from the very beginning, his basic principle of attachment to Krishna is, more or less, love. And then what is the difference between the wise and the others? The wise man is he who has thoroughly understood that the spirit soul, that he is spirit soul and not simply a body. Because he realizes that he is spirit soul and Krishna is the supreme spirit, he knows that his intimate relationship should be with Krishna, not with his body. The distressed man and the man in want of money are in the material concept of life, because distress and need of money are both in relationship with this body. Yes.
What about the inquisitive person? Because it seems he got left out in this analyzation. Where does he fit in?
Yeah. Well, the inquisitive is now the question of why is he inquisitive? So it's a matter of consciousness. Either it's on the bodily platform, or it's more on the platform of being wise. And actually, he's frightened of the bodily platform, and he is looking for something higher. The wise man, he is the one who realizes there is no point. But he doesn't know what is there beyond this body. So he is looking for something. As soon as he gets some lead, he will go after it. Inquisitive, he doesn't have anything to do. He is a little wondering. No, he is like looking, maybe this, maybe that. No, like a Gyani, it's better position than Jigyasa. Gyani, he is asking and he wants answers. Jigyasa just asked to show that he asked questions, that he will be appreciated for asking questions. But he doesn't really expect the answer, or he will keep arguing and then just to show that he can also do that. So that will be the position of somebody who just asks. But in that, then he may start to develop the desire of that he wants to know, and then he becomes interested. And then when he becomes interested, that he becomes wise. So as long as it's not based on the bodily platform, that he is considered wise, and then he will be easier to understand Krishna. But as long as it's connected to the bodily platform, then it will be connected to that. So until he is able to get released from that, then he will not be able to perform the devotional service purely. So he will stay neophyte. The wise, he very quickly can elevate himself to the state of Madhyama.
Does that mean that he's kind of in the inquisitive person is kind of in an intermediate stage, if his consciousness is he's proud of being able to ask these questions and everything, then he's on the bodily platform?
Basically, yes.
Where he turns and he actually wants to know.
Because somebody in need of money or distress, it's very clear that it's about the body.
Yeah.
So that's clear. The wise person, he is the one who realized, I don't want to be connected to this body. But the inquisitive, it depends on what is his motivation. Okay. Who is eligible candidate for pure devotional service? It can be concluded that a person who is freed from the bodily concept of life is an eligible candidate for pure devotional service. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita that after Brahman realization, when one is freed from material anxieties and can see every living entity on an equal level, he is eligible to enter into devotional service. Okay, you see, just a little thing. I will not be here on Thursday. And then, don't know exactly who will come. Maybe it will be Krishna Chaitanya. Now, maybe that time, maybe on Thursday, maybe you can work together, make little like a, some little like a practical session. And you can maybe make some like three groups and practically work on like a, maybe not in form of maybe you can write some like essay or even like just by words explain then the three classes of devotees. How, in details, whatever you can, their position in devotional service. So, more elaborate on, you have then three groups, and each group then elaborates on definition, who is the devotee, either then first, second, or third class. Then, what are the main weaknesses and the process how to overcome the weaknesses. We didn't really discuss much about what will be the process overcoming, but you can little Serge, you can even think of whatever you may remember from other shastras. What would you recommend to the devotee that he should do to elevate himself quickly in devotional service? Yes. So basically what he should do and what he should not do. Okay? And then on Friday, then maybe just the first thing, then we will hear that, and then after that we will finish the chapter 3. Okay?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.